Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Tanis Chavav. We should be starting the fourth parak of the Masechta. We're going to finish up quickly the third parak, and then we'll move on, obviously. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf for the Rebbe Zev Nishmas Lewis Lupin Zaltzman. Concluding the third parak, we're in the middle of Chavim Adveis. We're going to find us where we just finished the Arizim yesterday. We are Tanarabana Maiseh Rebbe Lazar. It's about 10 lines from the top of the Amud, a little bit more down than that. Okay. Concluding the third parak, which really had very little in terms of halacha and was mostly agadah. If we have not gotten the point yet of the importance of rain and the significance of rain, so we missed a good part of the third parak of the Masechta. Masechta really hammered the point home that rain is significant, and at times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not bring down the rain, it's a sign of his displeasure. And the fasting and the hasra and the blowing of the shofar that we do is all a means of trying to get ourselves to become more humbled. As we saw time and again, the basic idea is that the arrogance is what prevents the rain from coming down, and by us becoming more humbled, so the rain will come down. A couple more incidents to make this point. We are in the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan, and we're starting towards the top of the Amud on Chav Hei Amud Beis. Perhaps the next bit of Gemara is something that you're familiar with. So Rabbi Lazar instituted 13 fasts. 13 fasts because, as we learned throughout this Masechta, there are three series of fasts, 3, 3, and 7, making a total of 13. So he instituted all 13 fasts, and nothing happened. So now we're in what's called, what we say here, the 11th hour, meaning it is really, it has approached the end. And Amar Lahem, so his last words were them, Tikantim Kibrechem Asnachem. Okay, why don't you dig your graves for yourselves? In other words, that's 13 fasts have come and gone, no rain has come down, there's a drought, there's going to be a famine. So he says to them words which are depressing. Galko Amda Bechi, everyone starts crying, V'yarduk Shamim, and the rain then comes. Okay, so again, the idea is, again, that humility, in other words, realizing how desperate the situation is, and everyone needing to change, and good. Another story of Rabbi Eliezer, where he davens for the Amud, 24 brachas. Remember, that's the Shemone Esrei that we do, on a fast day. Is instead of 18 brachas, there are an additional 6 brachas. We spent the 6th parak discussing that. Velonena, and it was not answered. Now Rabbi Akiva follows. So in other words, so first Rabbi Eliezer davens for the Amud, and nothing happens. Then Rabbi Akiva davens for the Amud, and he starts Avinu Malkeinu, and Avinu Malkeinu Rachem Aleinu. So the Gemara over here gives us 2 of the Avinu Malkeinus. Now we know that there are more. So the who exactly compiled the Avinu Malkeinu as we have it now, so that I don't know. But where does it originate from? So that we do know. Meaning it originates from Rabbi Akiva, as he incorporated that into the tefillah of a fast day. V'yardu Gishamim. And the rain came down. So you understand now, so basically you had 2 Gedolei Yisrael who davened. One was Rabbi Eliezer, who davened for the Amud. He did the Shemone Esrei with the 6 additional brachas. No rain came. And then Rabbi Akiva davened for the Amud, although he didn't, when I say davened, he didn't say Shemone Esrei, he did the Avinu Malkeinu, and the rain came. So, clearly by putting the 2 back together, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responding to Rabbi Akiva, so that was a clear indication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu which one he favored. And Havu Meranane Rabbanan. And the rabbi started murmuring, meaning the whispering around the room was, hey, did you see what just happened? Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer, you see whose tefillah was miskavo? Yes, Abasko v'Amra. So out comes Abasko and made this point very clear. It has nothing to do with greatness. One is not greater than the other. It has to do with being mavir al midosav. Exactly what that means, being mavir al midosav. So take a look at Rashi, mavir al midosav. Nope, sorry, not Rashi. Okay, went to the wrong parish. So now Rashi, I'm sorry, Rashi over here does not comment. So, okay. Mavi, I mean, just ostensibly means that he's easier going. He's quicker to forgive. Okay. He, as opposed to Rabbi Eliezer was more of a hardliner. Okay, generally speaking, we know that about Rabbi Eliezer. We've seen other places in Shas where Rabbi Eliezer is, he's pretty convicted. He's pretty strong in his conviction. Okay, and Rabbi Akiva is lets things go a lot easier. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mida Keneged Mida, treats everyone in kind. Meaning that, God forbid, the Gemara, the Baskol says, it's not that Rabbi Akiva was any greater than Rabbi Eliezer, but because Rabbi Akiva lets things go, so Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what, I'll let it go as well. Meaning, really, really, rain shouldn't come down, but Rabbi Akiva is asking, and he's Mavi Al Midosav, and Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I too will be Mavi Al Midosav. Tana Rabban, the Gemara quotes, A, Braisa, Masayu Ag Shamim Yordim, Vasibra Poskim Mita Anisam. At what point in time do the rains come down and the community stops fasting? Rashi makes this point clear. Okay, now we can quote Rashi. So Rashi makes this point clear. The Gemara's question over here about the tefibra, about the community fasting, is speaking specifically to a community, meaning that we learned earlier that once an individual takes upon himself the fast, they have to conclude the fast. That's it's a Kabbalah, that's a neder. But if the community's fasting, so as a community we're fasting for a purpose, i.e. we need rain, if the rain comes down, the community no longer needs to fast. How much rain can avert the fast? So that's the Gemara's question. Now, I'm not saying you can show me your demasiba posting mitani sam. Samlo bercha machareisha div Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says, as deep as the plow goes down. In other words, the water has to come down to the point where there's enough saturation where there is water in the ground, the depth of a plow. And the Chachamim are very specific in terms of amounts. If it's dry land, the amount of rain for one tefach. If it's not dry land, somewhere with the Gemara refers to as Benes, so then two tefachim. If it's avoda, if it's land that's already been plowed, so in other words, already cracked and grooved in the ground, so then three tefachim. Okay, and as Rashi points out over here, it's all the same amount of rain. It's just a question of how much is going to get soaked up by the ground. One tefach for totally dry ground, two tefachim for not totally dry ground, and then if the land is worked, three tefachim, but it's the same amount of rain. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Melazar Amein Lecha Tefach Melamal Shein Tom Yotel Ekraso Shlosha Tefachim, the Gemara quotes another Braisa. Water from above, water from below. The understanding of the Gemara is always that based on Maisa Bracious, that there is water coming from above and there's water that is arising from the earth. So when one tefach of rainwater comes down, three tefachim of the water come up to greet it. The only problem with this is that we have another braisa that says that for the one that comes down, two tefachim come up. So the Gemara says, no problem, no discrepancy. One is talking about where the land is dry, and the other is talking about where the land is not dry. If the land is dry, it takes a lot of rainwater for it to become saturated. So in other words, the tefach of the water coming from the top, means if it's dry land, meaning that it needs more water to get it to the point where it's a tefach of it saturated. So for that, three tefachim are going to come up to greet it. If, however, the land is benonis and it's already not totally dry, so therefore the one tefach of water that comes down is only going to bring, elicit two tefachim from the ground. When we do nisach hamayim on chag, on sukkah, so remember, the 7 days of Sukkot, we're pouring water on the Mizbeach. Nisach HaMayim, Mitzvah in the Torah, not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. It may be encrypted in the Torah, perhaps. The Gemara in Sukkot, we went through it recently, brings down a number of opinions, whether it's actually encrypted in the Torah or it's just simply Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Either way, it's a Mitzvah in the Torah to pour water on the Mizbeach on Sukkot. So when we're pouring from above, so it basically speaks to the water below and asks the water from below to come up and also provide saturation from below. It's like two friends getting together. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Tahom El Tahom Korela Kofin Arecha. Right, the Tahom El Tahom is calling out to each other. So the water from above is calling out to the water from below and basically the immediate meeting becoming more proximate to one another. Rava says, I saw the Ridya. Ridya, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says that is the malach that's memuna al hamayim, water appointed, angel appointed over water. Okay, we see it in the Gemara often, and you can see the Ramchal Derech Hashem, he spells this out, that for everything in this earth, there is a ministering angel. Although, to be fair, by water, by rain, it's a little bit difficult because we learned in the beginning of the Masechta, rain is the kind of thing which is operated strictly by Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he doesn't hand over the keys to anybody. So it is a little bit difficult to understand why by rain there is a Malach HaMemunah, but we're just going to deal with our Gemara at hand. So the Gemara over here refers to the Malach HaMemunah, the appointed the angel, the ministering angel over the rain, and the name of this angel is Ridya. Okay? And Rava sees him. Okay, now, how does this work exactly? So again, we're still in the middle of the Agadata. I can't fully explain this, but he sees a ministering angel, and Damila Igla will pierce the Sifsase, and the Gemara gives us the visual, where this ministering angel looks like an eagle, looks like a calf, and literally the lips are split. Okay. And where does he station himself? Between the above Tahom and the lower Tahom. I mean, somewhere on this earth. And basically, what this ministering angel does is for the waters above, he says, pour down the water. And for the water below, he says, bring the water up. And he quotes a pasuk from Shir HaShirim. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi explains the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Right, Rashi's on the left-hand side. This daf is no Tosos, it's just Rashi. Rashi's on the left-hand side. Rashi writes, Klomer, Kishim menaschin mayim bechag, shani sochin niru ba'aretz, shein ba'alun ela mishana l'chaverta, kenet zeh, she'eno yotze ela mishana l'shana. They says, Amir, he gives mirtachag, az kol hatur, malach dom l'shura. Now the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says the voice of the Torah. Now in the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, the Torah is mentioned as actually a bird. But Rashi points out it could be reinterpreted the word tor as a shur, because we know the Aramaic word for a ox is a tor. Targum shur tor. Shibishashim naskim mayim b'chag, that at the time when we pour the water on Sukkot, who omer came? The ox says this. Now the ox in relation to what we just learned in the Gemara is a reference to this angel who is appointed, because the angel visually looks like a eagle. He looks like a calf. So so that's how you understand the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. And again, this idea that when we do Nisach HaMayim, it basically calls out to the shore, to the ox, to ask the waters to either pour down from above or to come up from below. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara. We're at the two dots now. We're at the last short line of the Amr Menate, Hayumisanim Beyarduk Shamim Kodamanesa Chamatan Rabban, the Gemara here quotes a Braisa. And again, we're going to speak to this idea of when can the fast be averted. Hayumisanim Beyarduk Shamim Kodamanesa Chamalo Yeshlim Malachan Esa Cham Yeshlim Adiv Rabbi Meir. There are going to be three opinions. The first opinion is Rabbi Meir, is that if it rains before Nesa Chama, fast averted. After Nesa Chama, we have to finish the fast. Rabbi Yehuda Amr Kodam Chasos Alo Yeshlim Malachan Chasos Yashlimu. And then Rabbi Yehuda's position is before and after Chasos is your point of demarcation, where if it rains before Chasos, fast averted. If it rains after Chasos, you have to finish the fast. And finally, the last opinion, Rabbi Yossi, Amar Kom Teshaos Lo Yashlimu, La'achar Tes Shaos Yashlimu. Before and after 9 hours of the day. Why 9 hours of the day? Shekem Asim Ba'achar Melch Yisrael. Shehit Ana Mitesha Shaos Ba'lamala. We know that Achav fasted. Achav fasted. There was a famine that was declared during the years of Achav. That was a punishment for Achav for having killed off his neighbor and taking away his property. So there was a famine that was declared. So he does do a little bit of tshuva, and he was fasting, and it was 9 hours in the day. Shenemar, Har'esa ki nichna Achav. Achav actually subdued a little bit, meaning he was humbled a little bit. And we know that was after 9 hours into the day. And you take a look at Rashi. Rashi goes through the whole sequence of how exactly we know that it was into 9 hours into the day. Rashi gives a description over there. We're gonna go on. Okay, so three opinions in the Gemara. So
why? Yes, because you fasted.
But the assumption is that even though the rain has come, but once we started the fast, so... I don't know what the rationale behind it, no. But the basic idea is that once you start it, you got to finish it. That's the basic idea. Exactly at what point is it considered significant enough where it started and yet therefore have to finish it. Okay. I don't know. I mean, it's halach lemaisa, it's not going to be so practical. We don't have a time at Seabor, but okay. But still, the question is a fair question. The right. My years in Eretz Yisrael, so we certainly davened, and I remember there was one year where there was no rain, and we davened, but a formal fast like this, no. We don't have a Sanhedrin. So far, two points of discussion that we had today. Number one was how much rain needs to come down in order for the fast to be averted. So one, two, or three tefachim, depending on the saturation of the ground already. And the second point that we discussed so far today is at what point in the day can we simply say, can we call off the fast? So there are three points of demarcation. Either it's before or after Netzachama, before or after Chatzos, or before or after nine hours into the day. Okay. Next. Amar, sorry. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, we just talked about him yesterday, the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya got the Tanis of Yadolam Gesham Lacha Netzachama. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya instituted a fast, and it rained, and the rain came after Netzachama. So Savala Ashlominu. So he thought, okay, let's finish, meaning, okay, we started the fast, let's finish the fast. So Amalei, Rabbi Ami, Kodem Chatzos V'Acher Chatzos Shaninu. So Rabbi Ami says, no, meaning we learned that the point of demarcation is before after Chatzos. It rained before Chatzos, we can call off the fast. Shmuel Katan Glazer Tanisa, we're now, Shmuel Katan is instituting a fast. Shmuel Katan, probably most best known for his authoring of the 19th bracha of Shmona Esrei. When we get to Masechta Megillah, we're going to talk more about him and his authorship of the 19th bracha of Shmona Esrei. He lived during the period of Rabban Gamliel. The Rambam writes when in Hilchos Tefillah that the one responsible for adding the 19th bracha of Shmona Esrei is Rabban Gamliel and his Beis Din. So, and the Gemara Megillah tells us that it's Shmuel HaKatan. So, you know, he's Rabbi Gamliel gets credit because he's the head of the Beis Din, but Shmuel HaKatan was the actual author. We'll talk about it then. No. This is much later. Meaning Alexander Great was Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was the beginning of the first temple, and here we're like at the end of Beis Sheni, even after the destruction of Beis Sheni. So Shmuel HaKatan Gazat Anisa v'yardu lahem gishamim la'achar shkiyas achama. So the rain comes down after shkiyas achama, that's sunset. So kisurim ha'amlam arshiv choshel sibor. Now so the people thought, let's pat ourselves on the back. Exceptional. We must be. So ho amal lahem Shmuel lo shevach shel sibor hu ela em sholacham mashal lamaha davadoma. So Shmuel HaKatan says, everyone relax and do not congratulate one another. In fact, I'll give you a mashal to explain what this is like. Levishim Avakish Prasmei Rabo. It's like somebody asking a particular reward from your master. So the master says, how about this? How about wait, stress, and let everyone become irritated, and then I'll give it. So in other words, Shmuel says to the people, If Akash Baruch Hu was really pleased with us, we wouldn't get to the point where we needed to fast and we need to petition and beg and ask Akash Baruch Hu. If he were really pleased with us, he would have given us rain much earlier. So the Gemara says, according to Shmuel HaKatan, what would be an example of... I did skip a little bit. Sorry. I'm going to go back to Shmuel HaKatan. It's the same point repeated, but let me go back a little bit. I apologize. I did skip a little bit. So, Sabra Shmuel Amalei Rabbi Ami. I'm sorry. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Let's go back to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. I apologize. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya goes to Tanit Rabbi Yagam, Shem Alach, and Yitzchama Sabra Lashlaminu. So, Amalei Rabbi Ami, Kodem Chatzos, Vacha Chatzos Shanina. Okay, fine. I'm sorry. Shmuel HaKatan. There are two Shmuel HaKatan stories. Shmuel Kadam Gazal Taniz of Yadulam Gisham Kodam Enetzachama. There we go. Okay, so in the first version, in the first story, rain does come before Enetzachama, Kisvorim, Amram Rashiv Choshol Sibor. And again, the people thought, let's congratulate one another. Amram Rashiv Choshol Sibor. Levish Mabakish Pras Me Rabom. Amalahem Tanu Lova Al Eshmak Kolo. So he says, look, it's like somebody asking a reward from their master, and he says to them, give it to them because I don't want to hear from them. Meaning, right, if they're going to fast, that means they're going to fast and they're going to petition. And it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, you know what, I just don't want to hear from them. Just give it to them, I don't want to hear from them. So Shmuel Katan basically says to the people, please, don't congratulate one another. And then Shmuel Katan Gazer Tanisa, and now we're up to story number two, where again, there was a fast that was needed. And the rain comes already after Shkias Achama. And again, now the people want to congratulate one another. And again, the mashal is, it's like a congratulation that's, I'm sorry, the servant is asking a prize from the master. Let them stress and let them suffer, and then I'm going to give it to them. What would be an example, according to Shmuel Katan, where we can congratulate one another, and we could say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was pleased? So the answer would be, Amar Meshiv HaRuach B'Nashav Zikra, Amar Morid HaGeshem V'Asa Mitra. Where at the first request, where we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, Meshiv HaRuach, the wind should blow, Morid HaGeshem, and then the rain comes down. And so when there's an immediate response to our original request, then we can give ourselves a pat on the back and then say, Kadosh Baruch Hu is pleased with us. That would be an example according to Shmuel Katan. Maisa v'gazu tanis b'Lod, there was an incident where they instituted a fast in Lod. And you remember the Mishnah told us the story. We're going all the way back to Daf Yud-Tes, the Mishnah of the third parak of the Masechta, where the Mishnah over there reports that there was a fast that was instituted in Lod, and the rain comes down before Chatzos, and Rabbi Tarfon says, okay, fast averted, everyone go home, eat, make a yontov. They went home, they ate, and then that afternoon they came back to Shul to say Hallel. Gemara's question over here, a really simple question, Nima Hallel Mikara. Meaning, why do we have to go eat first and then say Hallel? Why not go the other way around? Abai v'rav v'damri tavai l'fishein adam omrim Hallel ela al nefesh. Very interesting, the Gemara says, because Hallel only said on a full stomach, right? I think about the Seder night. Give me a moment, I'm going to clarify. That's an excellent question, but after point of clarification, you'll see the question will be answered. I think about the Seder night, and the Seder night, so basically the same idea, that we first eat, right, and we eat well, and we finish our matzah, and only afterwards do we say Hallel. So the Gemara doesn't connect the two, but it seems like a pretty obvious connection. Okay, why? Right, simple question. Why is it that we should first fill our stomachs and then afterwards say Hallel? So take a look at the Rashi. The top Rashi in Chavavim and Alp Rashi writes, El benefesh ve'yam, mitok shekosuv bo nosen lechem l'chol basar, na le'amer al hasova. Rashi says, because it says in Hallel HaGadol, Nosen Lechem L'chol Basar. So first of all, now we understand that we're referring, you know, there are two Hallels. Right. There are two Hallels that the Gemara refers to. There's the standard Hallel that's instituted to say on Yontif, on Chanukah, on a day that a miracle occurs. Okay. We have a minute to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh as well. So that's what we would call the standardized Hallel. Standardized Hallel is a couple of Perakim in Tehillim. Starts in Perakuf Yud Gimel, and it goes Kuf Yud Gimel, Kuf Yud Dalid, Kuf Tes Vav, and Kuf Yud, Kuf Tes Vav, Kuf Tes Zion, and Kuf Yud Tes. That's it. Okay. So those Perakim is what we would call the standard Hallel. Right? Chapters 113 through and including 118. And then there's something called Hallel HaGadol. Hallel HaGadol, so you know it, we say in Pesukei Dezimra on Shabbos. So the Halal Haggadah, which is Kuf Lamed Vav in Tehillim, so is formatted in an acrostic. No, sorry. Hodol Hashem Kitov Kilam Chasto, Hodol Elokim Kilam Chasto, right? Right, 26 psukim. 26 psukim, by the way, that's the Gemashri of Shem Hashem, Yudke Vavke. So but the 26 psukim, and this is what's referred to as Halal Haggadah. It's a great halal. One of the key lines in that perek in Tehillim is Nosen Lechem Uchol Basar. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives bread to everybody. So, as Rashi points out, it's better if we actually feel full. So that when we say the pasuk of Nosen Lechem Uchol Basar, so we're actually experiencing and we're feeling it. So that's why it's better to say it on a full stomach. That's and so when the Mishnah is speaking, about Halal Haggadah. Okay. Al Nefesh Ve'ah B'Keres Melayah. Ini, the Gemara points out just one last piece in the third parak of the Masechta. Gemara says, is this true? V'Arav Papa Ikla Be'Kenish the Abi Govar V'Gazet Anis V'Yardalem Shemim Ad Chakol V'Amar Halal V'Acher Kach Achlu V'Shasu. So the Gemara just tells an incident regarding Rav Papa, where they made a fast in the shul of Abi Gubar, and the rain comes down before Chatzos, so therefore fast is averted and everyone can go home and eat. But before they went home and eat, they said Halal Haggadah, and then afterwards they went home and eat, and that's exactly not the order as presented in our Mishnah, nor does that satisfy the explanation that was just provided in the Gemara. So why? To which the Gemara's response is Shani Bei Mechuza D'Shchichibu Shechus. So the Gemara says that Abi Gubar is in the town of Mechuza. And Mechuza, they were drinkers. They were serious drinkers. And the problem is that upon eating would accompany drinking, and quite frankly, they would not be sober enough to go back to shul to say Halal Haggadah. So therefore, get the drinking in. Sorry, get the Halal Haggadah in now, so that way they can go home and they can eat and drink and that'll be the end of their day. Hajjan Allah Seder Tani Seilo, that is the end of the third parak of the Masechta. Okay. We begin now the fourth parak of Tanis, the final parak of Tanis. The fourth parak is the one that is most practical to us here living in the diaspora. And the topic of the fourth parak is going to be primarily the fast that are instituted L'Zecher Chorban Beit HaMikdash. Okay, the timing in terms of the Daf Yomi and the time that we're in is quite good. I don't mean positive, but good meaning its timing is correct. We're 1 week away, or a little bit more than a week away from Shivas HaBetamuz. So today's talk is going to be discussing that date together with a number of other dates that commemorate the Churban Beit HaMikdash. So that's going to be primarily the topic of discussion in the fourth paragraph. We have 1 week to go before we finish the Masechta. Lamed Aleph is the last stop. Let us begin the Mishnah. And again, the format of the parak is just going to be like the previous parak and the second parak as well, which is all the Mishnayos are going to be front-loaded. We're going to be basically doing today Mishnayos, all the Mishnayos of the fourth parak, and then over the course of the next week, we're going to be doing Gemara that's going to be analyzing a lot of the Mishnah. Okay. Speaking about drinking, and right, an excellent segue from the third parak to the fourth parak, speaking about drinking. So we know, you've heard me say this before, but now's a good time to talk about it, the mitzvah of Nesias Kapan. The mitzvah of Nesias Kapan is that there's a mitzvah in the Torah, Parshas Naso, where the Kohen duchens. He stands on the duchen, he stands on a platform, and he blesses the Jewish people. Kosh Shavarchu B'nei Yisrael, the pasuk says in Parshas Naso, that this is how you're going to bless the Jewish people. And so the Kohanim are charged with the mitzvah of blessing the Jewish people. When exactly is this to be done? So, ostensibly every day. There's a mitzvah to bless the Jewish people every day. So the Kohanim take the opportunity every day to stand up on the bima and to bless the Jewish people. We Ashkenazim wonder what happened to this mitzvah of Birchat Kohanim. It is not connected to Avodah. The fact that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash does not take away the mitzvah. There's still a mitzvah to bless the Jewish people every day. So we Ashkenazim wonder what exactly happened to this mitzvah. Historically, you've heard me say this before, but it's always good to review. Historically, we've been wondering for a long time. There's a minhag Ashkenaz where we really don't know when it started, and I don't know exactly know the genesis of it, but we stop dochening on a daily basis. We only dochen on Yontif, and not only do we limit to Yontif, but we only dochen on Musaf of Yontif. And that's it. That's the only times that we dochen. Okay, and it gets a little bit complicated on Simchas Torah, for example. Instead of duchening on Musaf, we duchen in Shacharis. But anyway, but basically that's it. So just to reiterate the Ramah, I've quoted the Ramah in the past. The Ramah says, why? Why do we duchen only at that point in time? So the Ramah writes that because you can only duchen b'simcha, you can only duchen from a standpoint of joy. And the Ramah says that us Ashkenazim, the only time that we're experiencing any type of real joy is only on Yontif, and only specifically on Musaf and Yontif. Why Musaf and Yontif? And again, I do not make this up. The Ramah writes this. The Ramah says that we're duchening Musaf and Yontif because by Musaf and Yontif we're ready to go home and to eat. And so it's Yontif coordinating with we're about to go home and eat. And so that's the only time when we're really experiencing any type of joy. Okay, if you're an Ashkenaz, you totally understand. And if you're not an Ashkenaz, so you're in a much better position. Sfardim, as the mitzvah in the Torah tells us, Sfardim duchen every day, regardless of where you are. The Vilna Gaon, I mentioned this before as well, but just to reiterate, the Vilna Gaon could not understand why it is that we don't duchen Ashkenazim every day. The Vilna Gaon wanted desperately to change the minhag of the Ashkenazim to duchen every day. Vilna Gaon was during the 18th century. He was unsuccessful. It's hard to imagine. The Vilna Gaon wanted a change in the Ashkenazi community, and he did not get the change that he wanted. It's hard to change a communal practice. But what the Gaon was successful in doing is that he changed the minhag in Israel. We know that many of the minhagim of the Ashkenazim in Eretz Yisrael followed the Vilna Gaon, primarily because a lot of the students of the Vilna Gaon went to Eretz Yisrael. And we're going back. We're going back to the early 19th century. So many of the students of the Vilna Gaon went to Eretz Yisrael. So a lot of the Ashkenazic minhagim in Eretz Yisrael follow the Vilna Gaon. So in Eretz Yisrael, even the Ashkenazim duchen on a daily basis. Why do we only duchen during Shacharis? Why not, I'm talking now to the Sfardim and to our Ashkenazim in Eretz Yisrael, why do we only duchen in Shacharis? And the answer is really simple. Because after Shacharis, you're going to eat. And back then, the minhag was is that it comes with eating, drinking. And we know that a Kohen cannot duchen while inebriated. Much like a Kohen cannot do the Avodah while inebriated, a Kohen cannot duchen while inebriated. So as a blanket rule, after Shacharis, so therefore the Kohen are no longer duchen. If, however, we know we're not going to eat, for example, a fast day, so then go ahead, duchen. Duchen Shacharis, duchen Musaf, if there's a Musaf, although fasting and Musaf obviously are mutually exclusive, right? So that wasn't a smart statement. But duchen Shacharis, duchen Mincha, and if there's ni'ilah, you're going to duchen ni'ilah as well. Okay.
Why not do? If after drinking they do mincha,
right.
They should do.
In other words, if they're sober enough to daven, they're sober enough to duchen. Okay, the point is fair. I'm just explaining as a blanket rule, duchening was only done at Shacharis and not after that point in time. Okay, fine. Okay, that's the basic idea. And now the Mishnah is going to point out, Shlosha Prakim, I'm sorry, go ahead. The drinking was because that was what they did. I mean, it's not... Because that was their drink. I mean, it's not part of our culture. Okay, for better or for worse. In other words, just that's their meals had wine with it. That's how they ate. Do we duchen a nila? No, I know. In Yom Kippur, we only duchen during okay. No, we don't. Okay. The Shlosha Prakim B'Shana Kohanim Nosim Es Tapehem Arba Pamim Bayom. So there are going to be three occasions in the year where the Kohanim are going to be duchening four times a day. B'shachris Musaf Mincha Ne'ilah Sha'arim. So that's going to be Shachris Musaf Mincha Ne'ilah Sha'arim, meaning that we can find a day in the year where there are actually going to be four tefillas, and furthermore, on these three occasions in the year where there are going to be four tefillas, they're going to be duchening all during all four tefillas. And they are Taneos, Mamados, and Yom HaKippurim. It's going to be a fast day, it's going to be a Mamad, and it's going to be Yom Kippur. Now, Yom Kippur is easy, meaning let's work backwards. Yom Kippur, we got it. We got all four tefillas. Shacharis, because every day there's Shacharis. Musaf, because it's Yom Kippur, and just like there's a carbon Musaf, there's also a tefillas Musaf. Mincha, that's daily. And there's Ne'ilah. On Yom Kippur, we know there's an extra tefillah, which is called Ne'ilah. When do we daven Ne'ilah? If you take a look at Rashi right here on the Mishnah, Rashi says, quote to Yushami, two opinions in terms of when. What is Ne'ilah? Ne'ilah means the closing of the gates. Which gates are we talking about? Rashi brings down two opinions, Shari Mikdash or Shari Shamayim. Okay? So, but we know it's basically late in the afternoon. So Yom Kippur is easy, where we basically can point to Yom Kippur and say there are going to be four tefillahs on Yom Kippur, and because there's no eating on Yom Kippur, the Kohanim are going to be duchening during all four. The first two are going to be a little bit trickier. Tanis meaning a Tanis Tzibur, public fast day. There's Musaf on the Tanis Tzibur? No. So what is the Mishnah talking about? The Gemara is going to ask that question. Stay tuned. And Ma'amados. So now would be a good time to introduce the Ma'amados. Good. So the Mishnah says that there are three times in the course of the year where there's going to be duchening at every one of the davenings. The Yom Kippur we spoke about, Tanit Tzibur. So again, there's no Musaf over there, so that we ask that question. The Gemara is going to answer that question for us. And then Ma'amados. So let's give a quick introduction to Ma'amados, because that's going to be a big topic in our Mishnah. So basically, I mean, we're going to see a lot of this in the Mishnah, but let me just give a quick introduction outside, and then we'll see the Mishnah inside. Basically, it goes like this. We know that there's a carbon tzibur. The carbon tzibur are the public carbonists that are born in the Beis HaMikdash. Who are the sponsors of the carbon tzibur? We the people. We the people provide a machitzis, a shekel, a half a shekel every year to the Beis HaMikdash, and with that collect the money from the people. So the money's pulled together, that's public money, and that's used to provide the operating expenses for the Beis HaMikdash so that the carbon tzibur is purchased with that money. As such, we are the owners of that carbon. We the people. We the people are the owners of the carbon. Now, generally speaking, how does it work? When you own a carbon, so you're there in the Beis HaMikdash as the carbon is being brought. Okay, where exactly do you stand? Okay, we try to flesh it out when back in the day when we're doing Masechta Tamid and Masechta Amidos. But fine, but in other words, you're in the Beis HaMikdash. It's your carbon. You want to be there. So that's obviously going to be an impossibility for the entire Jewish people to be in the Beis HaMikdash every day together with the carbon, even though it's our carbon. But still, that's just, in other words, we can't function that way. So what do? Representation. So there's a representative of the Jewish people who are going to be in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the truth of the matter is, there's going to be two representatives, two ma'amados, if you will. There's going to be a delegation of Jewish people who are going to be in the actual Beis HaMikdash itself while the carbon is being offered. This is ma'amados of Yerushalayim. And then there's going to be representatives in the hometown of a designated community. Meaning, just like the Mishmaros are broken up into 24 Mishmaros, so too, there are 24... Well, give me a moment. I'll partially answer your question, not fully. But then on top of that, there's also going to be representatives that are going to be designated around Eretz Yisrael, where they're going to be in their town going to be representing the Jewish people. Now, if you're in your hometown and you're representing the Jewish people with the carbon, what exactly are you doing? The answer to that question is going to be you're going to be fasting, and you're going to be having extra davening. Okay, so as a representative community of the Jewish people, during your appointed week, you're fasting and you have extra davening and laning every day of the week for that week that you were appointed. Now, as the Mishnah is going to point out, now fasting the entire week, first of all, obviously you're not fasting every day of the week. You're certainly not fasting Shabbos, but as we'll learn, you're also not going to be fasting on Sunday and you're not going to be fasting on Friday. So the truth of the matter is that's really only of the week, only 4 days of fasting, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Furthermore, I'm sure it was obvious, but I'll spell it out anyway, you're not fasting at night. It's not four consecutive days of fasting, it's 4 days of fasting. Obviously, you're eating in the night in between. But still, as a representative of the Jewish people, we are going to be conducting ourselves on a higher spiritual plane, And so therefore, we're not going to be eating that week, and there's going to be extra davening. That extra davening is what's referred to in the Mishnah as the ma'amados. The ma'amados is when we're going to have these extra davening, and included in this extra davening is going to be ne'ilah. Okay, we're going to be inserting ne'ilah into the davening. Okay, and we'll be talking more about it, but I'm just giving you an idea. But basically, ma'amados are, a delegation of the Jewish people are going to go in Yerushalayim. I'll show you Rashi later this morning. I'll show you Rashi later this morning where Rashi says they're actually working. Now, they're not doing the Avodah, obviously. That can only be done by the Kohanim and the Levium. Levium are helping the Kohanim. But they're going to be doing some menial, some basic labor in the Beis HaMikdash during their week of Ma'amados. And then the community outside of Yerushalayim, meaning the appointed city that's going to be doing the Ma'amados, so they're going to be in the community fasting and having extra davening during that week. Okay, this is what's called the ma'amados. The Mishnah speaks about it at length. Let's see it inside. Elu heina ma'amados. We're in the Mishnah on Chavav. I'm an Aleph. We haven't gotten that far. We're only four lines in. Elu heina ma'amados. The fisher nemetzav is b'nei sos kabini lachmi. The Torah says it's my carbon, meaning it's our carbon. V'chiyech kabin ha'shol adam krabu hu eino amin agabav. And the Mishnah over here asks the question. How could it be that it's our carbon and we're not standing over the carbon, watching the carbon? And again, it's not practical to have every Jew being there every single day. So the system is, the Kino Nevi'im HaRishonim, the early Nevi'im instituted, Esrim V'Arba Mishmaros, I call Mishmar Mishmar, Hayamamad B'Yushalayim. So with every Mishmar, meaning the Kohanim are broken up into 24 Mishmaros. The term Mishmar is the term used for the Kohanim. The Kohanim were broken up into 24 Mishmaros. And from the Mishnah, it seems like the Levium as well. And then together with every Mishmar, there's also a Mamad. The Mamad is the representative of the Yisraelim. So, Shal Kohanim, Shal Levium, Shal Yisraelim. So he gives Man HaMishmar La'alos, Kohanim V'Levium, Olim L'Yerushalayim. And then, when it came time for the Mishmar to go up, so the Kohanim and Levium would go up to Yerushalayim, V'Yisrael Shabbos HaMishmar Mitkansin La'areim, and the Yisraelim would go and gather in their city. So you see, the Mishnah over here really speaks about both. The Mishnah didn't make this point as clearly as I did. I'm following Rashi's lead in terms of how basically the Ma'amados are divided. Portion of it go to Yerushalayim, and portion of it stay in their city. That's a good question. I don't know. And I don't remember the Gemara speaking about it. So I don't know. The Korim b'Masa Bracious. And now, in the week of your Ma'amados, meaning in your respective city, so what do you do? So Kriyas HaTorah, and you're going to be reading. We're going to skip the parentheses. But Yom HaRishon Bracious Vayihi Rakia. So on the first day, meaning on Sunday, we're going to be reading Bracious Vayihi Rakia. Basically, as a Ma'amados, what are we reading? Meaning what portion of the Torah are we reading? Bracious. Now, every day we're going to be reading the day that a Ma'aseh Breishis that corresponds to the day. So on Sunday, we're going to be reading Ma'aseh Breishis of Sunday. On Monday, we're going to be reading Ma'aseh Breishis of Monday. There only is one technical problem, and that is that we'd like to call up three people to the Torah. So, Breishis, the first paragraph of Breishis has only five psukim. So what are we going to do? Meaning we'd like to call up three people to the Torah, so we're going to read Breishis, and we're going to read Vayihi Or. Even though Vayihi Or is, I apologize, Vayihi Rakia. So, which is the second chapter in Bereishis, which really deals with Monday. But we'll read that on Sunday, because we want to get three Aliyahs out. Even that is a little bit challenging, because five psukim of Bereishis Bara Elokim, and only three psukim of Vayihi Rakia, which only gives us a total of eight psukim. How are we going to chop up three Aliyahs out of eight psukim, when you know that every Aliyah needs minimally three psukim? That's a Gemara discussion. We're going to discuss that later on. Why not repeat? Okay, again, the Gemara is going to discuss it. It's a good question. We're tabling it. So then, B'Sheni, and then on Monday, V'Hirakiyah, and V'Hikav HaMayim. So we read the Psukim of V'Hirakiyah, and V'Hikav HaMayim, which is three and five Psukim. V'Shlishi, on Tuesday, V'Hikav HaMayim, V'Hima Aros. So we read the Parshios of Yikav HaMayim and Yimaros, Berevi Yimaros, Yishratu HaMayim, and then on Wednesday reading Yimaros, which is Maisa Bracious for Wednesday, together with Yishratu HaMayim, which is only three Pesukim. V'chamishi, on Thursday, Yishruf Samayim V'sotea Aretz. And then B'shishi V'totea Aretz V'yichalu HaShamayim. And then on Friday, reading Totea Aretz and V'yichalu HaShamayim. Parsha Gedolah Korin HaSabishtan V'chamishan V'yachin. And the Mishnah gives us just a very basic rule, which is, if it's a large parsha, and by large we mean six psukim, so we're going to break that up into two aliyahs. If it's a small parsha, meaning three psukim, that's one aliyah. And what if it's five psukim? So again, we'll get to the Gemara, we're going to discuss it in detail. B'shachris b'musaf b'mincha nechnasim mekorin apiyem kachor teshma. The Mishnah says that on shachris, on musaf, and on mincha, so we read it by heart like someone reads the Shema. Okay, obviously the Mishnah is confusing because it first sounded like we're reading from the Sefer Torah. And then the Mishnah says we're reading it by heart. The Gemara is going to be bothered by that question. The Gemara is going to ask that question. We'll table that for the Gemara. And then you're going to ask me, can you read Shema by heart? And again, that's an excellent question, which we're going to table as well. But that is the right question to ask. Erev Shabbos b'mincha lo ayu nechnasim b'nei kavod Shabbos. Erev Shabbos mincha. Friday afternoon mincha. We did not get together for the ma'amados, for the special ma'amados tefillah, because it's Erev Shabbos. So therefore, in other words, everyone needs to prepare for Shabbos. Kol yom sheish bo halo ein ma'amad b'shachris. Now there are going to be, remember, this is ma'amados, which is basically every day of the year. Just a question of which city it's going to be in. So there are going to be basically events that are going to basically tell us no special ma'amad of tefillah. So, for example, halal, so we're going to skip the ma'amad of shachris for halal, for days in which we say halal. Karban musaf ain b'ni'ilah. If there's a day in which we're going to bring the karban musaf, so then there's not going to be a ma'amad during the ilah. Karban eitzim ain b'mincha. And if it's a day of karban eitzim, for that we will explain a little bit later on, so then we're going to skip the ma'amad of mincha. Okay, Div Rabbi Kiva. All this is the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Amar ben Azai, the student and then ultimately the colleague of Rabbi Akiva, ben Azai, says to Rabbi Akiva, Kachay Rabbi Yoshua Shona. No, this is how Rabbi Yoshua taught it, which is, Karban Musaf ain't the Mincha. If there's a Karban Musaf, so then we skip the Mincha, the Mamad of Mincha, and Karban Eitzim ain't the Ne'ilah. And if it's carbonation, there's not going to be ni'ilah. Chaz Rabbi Akiva liyoshona to Ben Azai. And Rabbi Akiva agreed and ended up admitting to Ben Azai, you're correct. And what the issues were in the Mishnah, and what did Rabbi Akiva originally thought, and why he ended up agreeing to Ben Azai, once again, that's going to be discussed in the Gemara. Again, the style of our parak, like it was in the second, and like it was in the third parak, is that all the Mishnahs are front-loaded, and then the Gemara discusses. And again, I don't know why it is, why the format turned out that way, but that's how it did. Zman atzei kohanim va'am tisha. Now, atzei kohanim, right, the wood of the kohanim. What are we talking about over here? So a little bit of history. We went in to build the second temple, and we were low. Low on people wanting to come back from Babel Teretz Yisrael, low on resources, low on funds, basically just low. So, family stepped forward and family donated wood to the Beis HaMikdash for operation. And basically as a thank you for that family, so every year on a specified date, this family would come into the Beis HaMikdash to bring their wood. Even if the Beis HaMikdash had wood, they still would do so. And that date represented for that family a special yontif. And so it's Rana Sekhanim Ba'am Tisha. There are 9 dates on the calendar where these families were coming into the Beis HaMikdash and observing their special date of Atzei Kohanim. Actually, 8 different families. One of them gets repeated twice. It will become clear in just a moment. Echad ben Nisan. So on the first day of Nisan, b'nei Erech ben Yehuda. That's date number 1. Date number 2. Esrim b'Tamuz. The 20th day of Tamuz, b'nei David ben Yehuda. B'chamisha ba'av. Now, we're going to have a lot of dates in the month of Av. So historically, I don't know how this worked, meaning that these families in Av only gave a small amount of wood. I'm only guessing. I don't know. But
so the same Av?
Yeah. So b'chamisha ba'av b'nei Parsh ben Yehuda. So on the 5th day of Av was the family of Parsh ben Yehuda, b'shiva bo b'nei Yunadav ben Rechev. on the seventh day of Av, the family of Yonadav, and Asara bo b'nei Sinavim b'nyamin. On the tenth day of Av, Sinavim b'nyamin. This should ring familiar, because we learned earlier in the Masechta that sometimes Tisha B'Av falls on a Shabbos, and so what happens is it gets postponed, and the observed day of Tisha B'Av turns into a Sunday, which is still no way to this very day. But then that means that for this family, they had a conflict of the date. Meaning on one hand, it was the observed day on Tisha B'Av. On the other hand, for them, it was a personal Yom Tov. So how do they respond to that? You remember earlier we talked about this? And basically, their personal Yom Tov trumped the observed day of Tisha B'Av.
For
all operations in the Beis HaMikdash. Right. But remember, though, we're talking about the beginning of Bais Sheni. There wasn't those numbers. All that. In other words, they would provide. Then the resources were needed. So they were the original families that stepped forward to say we're gonna donate. And then even after there was no longer a need for them, they still kept these dates. B'chamisha asar bo b'nei Zatu ben Yehuda. And on the 15th was the family of Zatu ben Yehuda. The Imahem Kohanim b'lein l'chol mishata b'shifto. U'b'nei Nunvi Ali u'b'nei Kutzei Kitzios. Okay, the fig cutters and the... Okay, this is all part of one group. We're up to number 7, the 7th date. V'esrim bo on the 20th day of Av. We're still in the month of Av. B'nei Pachas Moav ben Yehuda. V'esrim be'elo, we're finally moving now. On the 20th day of Elo, b'nei Adin ben Yehuda. And now, b'echad b'teve shabo, b'nei Parush Shnia. So on the first day of Teves, b'nei Parush. Now that should sound familiar because that was the first family. And they got to bring, They were the third family. But anyway, they get to bring a second time. B'echad b'teves l'hayu bo mamad. Now, on the first day of Teves, there was no mamad. Why? Because the first day of Teves, basically the mamadas got cut out for a number of reasons. So Shaya bo halo. First of all, there was halo on the first day of Teves. Everyone remember? Chanukah. Right. First day of Teves, we're in the middle of Chanukah. Chanukah starts on the 25th day of Kislev. Chanukah goes for 8 days. So the first day of Teves, so you have halo. Remember, we learned earlier in our Mishnah, so the halo knocks out the mamad of Shachar. So on the first day of Teves, so we lose the mamad of Shachar. The Karban Musaf, and also there's a Karban Musaf, because it's Rosh Chodesh. So that knocks out the Mamad of Musaf, and Karban Eitzim, and then there's a Karban Eitzim, because it's one of the 9 dates, so that knocks out the Mincha, so we knock out the Mamadas. Chamisha Dvarim Iros, Abatina B'Shivas, Abitamas. The Chamisha B'Tisha B'Av. So let's just wrap up over here with this next part of the Mishnah. And there are 5 events that happen on the 17th day of Tammuz, and 5 events that happen on Tisha B'Av. Shiva Seva Tammuz. On the 17th day of Tammuz, we're on the top of Chavav and Beis. Ishtabra Luchos, so the Luchos were broken by Moshe Rabbeinu. Ubato had Tamid, and the Tamid stopped being brought. The Mishnah does not give any date, in terms of what this is in reference to, and Rashi also does not give any detail, and there's a major debate amongst the commentators to the Mishnah exactly when the Mishnah here is describing that the Tamid was knocked out. Hufka Ha'ir, the city was breached. Do you remember that we noted that there's a difference between Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni? In both, a siege was laid around the city of Yerushalayim. In both, the wall was breached. The dates are slightly different. In the first Beis HaMikdash, it was the 9th day of Tammuz. And the second Beis HaMikdash, it was the 17th day of Tammuz. Obviously, we observe the 17th day of Tammuz because we're still a morning of the second temple. The Sarif Apostamos is a Torah. Apostamos burnt the Torah. The Hemit fell on the Hechal, and he, Apostamos, put a idol in the Hechal. This is during the Greek period. And the Tisha B'Av, and now on Tisha B'Av, Nidzal of the Tenesh Yichnesu La'aretz. That was the day where the Jews were told that they're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, the Jews of the desert. The Charav HaBayis Bereshona Uvishniya, the first and second Beit HaMikdash were destroyed. Nilkada Beitar was destroyed. Beitar was our attempt to, after the destruction of the Second Temple, to beat the Romans. We were finally defeated again in the city of Beitar. It took place approximately the year 130 of the Common Era. The Nechra Shahair and the city of Yerushalayim was planned over. Okay. I know we're still in the Mishnah, but we are finished in terms of time. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up from the Mishnichnas Av, upon entering into Av, and we'll pick it up at that point in the Mishnah. And